Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Hey, everybody. So this week, we decided that Kevin and I would talk about some of the tools we've been using and liking lately. So we don't actually have any guests other than ourselves. We're kind of serving a dual host guest role this time around. How's it going, Kevin?
It's been going great, Mark. It's so lovely to have a chance to spill the beans among ourselves. And I think it's a great idea to take a moment to share some of the things that we have been enjoying. We're going to do two each to soften the blow. And Mark, I know you have a couple of things that you've been telling me about. So do you want me to start or do you want to start?
Yeah, why don't you start, Kevin?
Okay.
You just got back from some travels. And
yes, I have been traveling. And one of the new tools that I have that I have been trying out and haven't yet traveled with, although I'm going to be taking it with me in 2 days when I leave, is I've been a very, very slow adopter of some of the newest photography technology in the form of drones. So I have not owned a drone, and I've been kind of slow to get one, in part because there's a learning curve, in part because my photography generally doesn't kind of lend that style. But I have a particular need for somewhere that I'm going to where I wanted to get high up. I wanted to have some elevated views. And I decided to get a drone. And so, as usual, I kind of started low. I wanted basically an entry-level, lowest cost, easiest to learn mode. And so I got a DJI, which is the Chinese manufacturer of most of the drones. I got their Spark version, which is a, well, I don't know, I would say it's the size of a kind of like a cordless phone or smaller drone.
Well, and, like folded up, I guess.
Well, right? The blades fold up, but the arms actually don't fold up, but it's so small still that it's, I mean, it kind of sits in the palm of your hand. It's a little bit bigger than the palm, but it's not that much bigger. And it will shoot, you know, basically, you know, 4K video, you know, very high res still images, which is what I'm using it for. And the other thing about it is that it doesn't have a controller. It's actually controlled through your phone, through an app that you load on your phone. And so it has a limited range of about 100 meters from your phone because it's, you know, kind of using Wi-Fi of some sort. And so those were actually not bugs to me. Those were actually benefits, features, because I was going to be hauling this around kind of like in a backpack, and I didn't want to have a lot of weight. And I didn't need it to do fancy things. And so this has so far proven to be kind of exactly what I wanted it for, which is I can send it up and take mostly still images is what I'm using it for, high up that are very high res. And I can, you know, throw it into a little day pack and it hardly takes up any room at all. So the Spark, DJI Spark.
And how much does it cost?
You know, I think it was like $400, maybe $390 something, which apparently for drones is on the low side. And it gets about 15-20 minutes on a charge. So if you were, I mean, most people have like a second battery, which they can swap out. And so that's, you know, it's pretty simple, fairly easy to learn. I'd never flown airplanes or drones before, but I'm still learning. I'm still figuring out how to get some skill in you know, it's not 100% intuitive because you have to understand where the, which is the front where the drone is looking towards in order to be able to steer it, and you are looking at it differently. Yeah, anyway, there's a skill set in being able to fly these from the ground. It's not as obvious as you would think, but anyway, this little phone interface does a pretty good job of letting you very quickly learn how to fly it.
Are they small enough that you don't need to get that FAA license?
You know, I don't know.
I think it might be like 5 pounds or something.
I have this feeling that this is sort of, if you're, as long as you're not flying it in zones or where permission's needed, that you don't need that. But I can't be 100% sure. At least all I can say is I haven't done anything yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good answer.
Oh, that's okay. And just one other question. Once the batteries are running low, does it automatically return to you?
Yes, it does. It has an internal account of how much power it has. And when it gets to the point where it thinks it has only enough power to get back, then it does that. Mm-hmm. So it will have an automatic return to sender, so to speak, when the batteries deplete below whatever it calculates it needs to get back. And that return to home function is pretty cool, where you just say, come back. And it comes back to where it lands.
I love that.
As long as you're not moving, which I had an experience with someone trying to fly a drone on a moving boat, and that return to home doesn't work.
Okay, and one other question about it. This is like my big fear: is it getting stuck in a tree? Does it have like a tree avoidance system in it?
It does have some basic avoidance, and that's what it says. I haven't experienced that personally. I can't tell you how well it works, but that is part of the specs. Is there some basic obstacle avoidance and things like trees and stuff? My concern is how well it does in with wind. So I had a mild wind and it was doing fine. I think some of the drawbacks with these particularly small drones is that they are more susceptible to wind gusts and things like that. And I haven't yet tested it with a very, very strong wind.
Sure.
But so far I've been pretty happy with it for doing what I want to do. And as an entry level drone, I thought it was pretty cool.
That sounds cool. All right. Well, I will talk about something that is drone like too, but it does not leave the surface of the earth. It is a robot vacuum. And it's like a knockoff of what was the original one? The iRobot?
Roomba.
And so I never got a Roomba. They've been out for a really long time, but I just thought that they were gimmicks because they're kind of quiet and they just look like a toy to me. But I got this D-Bot vacuum and it's D-E-E-B-O-T. They sent it to me to review. And I said, okay, if I don't have to pay for it, I'm willing to just try it and see what I think. And so I set it up. I put the little dock on the ground and let it go. And it's iPhone controlled, like your Spark. And I could see as it was walking around the room, it was drawing a little map of our floor plan. And it took like a couple of hours to like find its way and feel its way all around. And I was like, first, I wasn't able to see if it was cleaning or not yet, but I was really impressed by the way it could get itself out of like any tricky spot that I was thinking, oh, it's for sure it's going to get stuck here. It's not going to be able to make it up past the little little piece of wood that's underneath a door frame. But it was able to do it and would kind of like lift itself up and speed up the motor. And it really felt like it was like a living animal, like navigating around. And so it spent like 2 hours going over everything. And then when I looked, I pulled out the little tray, it was stuffed to the brim with junk, like tons of cat fur. It was like so gross. I could not believe how much was in there. It was like heavy with stuff. So I just dumped all the stuff out. And then I had it do it again. after I let it charge, and it picked up more stuff again. And it now, I mean, our floor is noticeably much cleaner, and we've hooked it up to Alexa. So all we have to do is say, Alexa, tell D-Bot to start cleaning, and it will do its job. And then when the batteries are low, it goes back to its charging station by itself and starts charging. Or you can tell it, Alexa, tell D-Bot to return to the charging station, and it will do it. So now it's like a, it's so cool. I love it. And I'm like, so I'm just sorry that we didn't get this thing sooner. I'm really happy with it. The things I haven't tried yet, there's like a mop attachment, and it's like a little cloth and some other things, and you pour some water into a little reservoir, and it's supposed to mop. I haven't tried that out yet. And again, like, I'm cynical that it will work at all, but who knows? I could be surprised again.
Right. Yeah. People who have pets tell me that it's, you know, the amount of stuff that it gets on a daily basis is sort of shocking. How much does it cost, and how does it compare to, like, what a Roomba though?
Yeah. I'm not sure how much a low end Roomba costs. This one, I have the higher end one. So I think it's, you know, in the neighborhood of, like, I'll put down the exact price, but I think it's in the neighborhood of about $500. So I do have probably one of the higher priced ones. And I'm just looking at the Roomba over here. Okay, so the Roombas go between $275 and $1,000. But they're awesome.
That's really great. And the which model do you have?
I believe I have the 900. It's the EcoVax. And again, I'll put that down on the show notes. That might be the 9. I think it might be the 950. So, Kevin, what else do you have on your list?
So another tool that I've been using a lot and have been very, very happy with and kind of thrilled it works so well is something which I use in my video, making videos, video recording of myself when I've been teaching these sessions for China. And I record the visual recording is very professional. The lighting's professional. And what we know from video is that people often judge the quality of video on the audio. Like, you can have kind of crappy visuals, but if you have really good audio, people don't notice, and vice versa. If you can have really great visuals and if the audio is not perfect, you'll notice. So in my effort to kind of up the quality of my audio for these recordings, the thing I've come to, the tool that works the best, is a pair of wireless microphones and their tether. And the one I'm most excited by is called the Rode, R-O-D-E, Rode Wireless Go, which is a pair of, they're about the size of a, like the old matches, like a match cover. They're a little square. They're about 2-inch squares, or maybe less, and maybe like an inch and a half square. And the one is you put on your camera, and the other one you can put on a person anywhere within like 100 meters of the tether, and it is a wireless connection. So it's a microphone that is wireless. And what's beautiful about these is that it's kind of total plug and play. There's right out of the box. There's no going into the menus. There's just nothing. You just hit a button, they're on. They're linked up together. You can use a built-in microphone in the one that you wear, or you can add a little lavalier onto a shirt. Mm-hmm. And back at the camera, you have to have a camera where you can have a sound input. You plug in that into, and mine rests on my camera shoe where the flash goes. It sits right into that little slot. And so it's good for doing something close, but it's also used in people making films where the like in any kind of documentary where the people are talking, they're actually mic'd wearing maybe the microphone under their clothes. And they have this, in the past, they'd have something wearing on the belt that was big and clunky, but now they can have something that's really tiny and it could be in a pocket or anywhere hidden. And the quality is excellent. It's just really great. So I'm using it much more in a studio setting where I could probably have a really, really long cord, but it just makes it so much easier not to have any cords. And it also gives me flexibility to kind of, if I'm doing something, if I'm making something and recording stuff, there's no wires to be involved in. And also the fact that this requires so little thought in just making it work. It just comes out of the box, it works, and it keeps working. So that's really, really great. And it's also the pair of them together, the whole set is $200, which in the realm of high-end audio equipment is very, very reasonable. It's a great price. It's a bargain for a wireless microphone. It's just fantastic.
That's cool. Is that the kind that we got Sean Reagan to use for the videos he's making for us?
No, we didn't. So there's another version, which is you can just wear a portable device that records on the device itself, and then you take the card out and then you sync it with a video later. And that's sort of what a lot of people were doing, is they would actually, everybody would, or you know, people would wear a little portable square, and the sound is recording to that little device locally on a card. And then you take the card out later and you sync it with your video. But this is actually different. This is actually recording right to the camera in real time, so that the camera and audio are being recorded together.
Okay. And then the sound is synced to the action.
Where the sound is synced, right. And so, it's still a separate channel, but it actually is not, the other versions, they weren't broadcasting anything wireless. They were just recording locally. This actually is transmitting across the air in real time to the audio on the camera, to the camera. And so it's a little bit, what should I say? It's maybe one less step involved. It's a little bit maybe more sophisticated, but it also is maybe more certain and sure because you are syncing it as you're recording it.
Okay. Is there an attachment or an adapter so you could use it with an iPhone if you wanted to use a phone to do the video?
Yes. The plug that it plugs into is your standard little 1/8-inch audio jack.
Oh, okay.
So I would think in theory, if your phone, well, I guess you'd have to have an adapter. If your phone can accept an audio input, then it should be able to accept this.
That's really cool.
I had not yet tried it, but I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work with, if you're, I don't know if iPhones allow you to take an external microphone.
I guess so, because you can plug your earbuds into it. And so that's.
And listen. Yeah. Well, anyway, I guess I would say if your iPhone allows you to record with an external phone, then I would think this would work.
Okay, cool. That sounds good. So it's the Rode.
The Rode Wireless Go.
Rode Wireless
Go.
Okay.
You can get them for $200 on Amazon.
Okay.
That's not the list price. That's below list price, but that's sort of what they sell for. And again, previous to this, the devices were like the size of like cigarette packs or bigger. And they often, both sides of them were big, kind of unwieldy things that took, you know, they had multiple channels and there was a lot of kind of syncing and tech stuff. These are very, very small, almost, you know, losable small, and they require, they're just plug and play. There's no fussing with them at all to get them to work. And they're cheaper than the others too. So it's, to me, it's just a no-brainer.
Yeah, that sounds great. So I have, it looks like everything we're talking about is electronic today. My pick is this kind of an amplifier. It's called a Class T amplifier, and it's for listening to music. So typically, I think a lot of people now don't have home stereo systems anymore because they're using these wireless Bluetooth speakers that they just connect to their phones and they can play their music library. And about a couple of months ago, my wife Carla was saying she wished that we had a nice stereo system in the house with big speakers so that we could hear the music in a fuller, richer way. And so I had speakers, but I didn't have an amplifier anymore. So I started looking around and I remember a post that Corey made like back in 2013 on Boing Boing about a, at the time, kind of relatively new type of amplifier called a Class T amplifier. And I'm not sure what's going on with the technology or the circuit inside, but they are usually, they're a much lower power than typical larger amplifiers, but the sound is still really full and strong and distortion free. And the price has just been dropping ever since they were introduced. And so I got one on Amazon, I think it was like $30. It comes with a power adapter, so you plug it into the wall and it's got Bluetooth in it. And then it has speaker output, so you just wire large speakers to it. And this little device itself is so small, you could hide it behind a speaker. I actually have it up in the attic above the living room. So it's just hidden there. And then the wires are going to speakers that are actually in the ceiling. And so I just now, we just bring a phone into the room, connect it to the Bluetooth, and you're playing the songs on your phone. And it just sounds great. There's no distortion. They can get really, really loud. And to think that something that costs $30 is making this nice full sound in the house is pretty incredible. And we're just using it like crazy. I mean, compared to like a nice Bluetooth speaker that costs over $100, this thing blows it out of the water.
So you're starting with, you already had the speakers and you just need...
Right. You need speakers.
You need some old school speakers, bigger, yes, the better. And it also, this device has Bluetooth wired into it. So it's Bluetooth ready.
Mm-hmm. And there was no, you know, a lot of times you get something in the Bluetooth that's like hard to connect and there's a problem. Mm-hmm. This particular one that I got worked no problem. So I'll put a link in the show notes because it was instantly available on Bluetooth and it was just one click. There was no like typing in 000.
And did you need an app to run it or you're just running it from like iTunes or something?
No apps or anything. Yeah. Anything that you do, you know, the iTunes or SoundCloud or YouTube, you just put hook, you know, say your Bluetooth output is whatever that device is. And I will put the model down, but I think they're probably at this point, you know, all pretty much the same. But I'll put mine down just because I had such a great experience with it.
And you plug it into, like, does it need a wall adapter for like a transformer or is it just plug right into the 110?
It does have a little, one of those little wall wart kind of things. And so I have it upstairs. And the other thing is that I plugged it into a wireless remote wall switch. So I have a wall switch in the living room so that I can turn the power on and off to the amp by hitting this little switch. But honestly, I don't think I really even need that because it's only drawing 15 amps when it's on. It is called the Knob Sound G3. And I'm looking at it now. I paid $40 for it. Maybe I got it for less. But anyway, it's going for $40 now. And it's well worth the amount of money that I paid for it. And it has bass and treble adjustment too.
Well, it sounds great. And it's fantastic use if you have the speakers already or even if you find some in a garage sale or something.
Yeah.
Because in the old days, it would take a lot of power, a big machine, lots of tubes or something with a heat sink at least to make this work.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, it's just the experience of hearing this music on big speakers is so different than I kind of forgot how nice it can sound.
Yeah, right.
Do you have large speakers, Kevin?
We don't. We have a big woofer in our system, which is sort of like hidden in the back, but we have little speakers everywhere else. So we're kind of missing that surround sound of the big wooden, I'm thinking the wooden, but the big bookcase kind of speakers. Yeah.
Well, if you have some speakers around, get one of these things.
Right.
You'll remember what you were missing.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, those are great. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Thanks, Kevin. I just wanted to tell folks to let you know that we have a Patreon page, and if you like the podcast we do, and also the videos that we do, we're doing more and more videos now. We have a video channel that you can go to YouTube/CoolTools. It will take you to our video channel. We have tons of great video reviews. And if you support us on Patreon, it really helps us out with the expenses that go into producing these things. We have editors, we have equipment costs,
we have transcriptions.
Yeah. We provide transcriptions of everything we do. And so if you do enjoy these, we would love to have you support us on Patreon. And you can give as little or as much as you want it. And any amount is greatly appreciated.
Yeah. And we want to thank the people who are currently Patreon supporters for backing us, giving us your support, and making this podcast available to others. So we thank you for your support.